Thank you for joining us and listening to this message from the Ministry of Grace Providence Church in Cerritos, California. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.
Good morning, and thank you all for being here with us this morning. My name is Juan Sanchez, member of the Grace Providence Church in the city of Cerritos, California. I have to confess to you that when William came to us with the proposal of participation of a group of men coming to take turns, a rotation, and we all took our times, and I thought, oh, it's just going to take way too long. By the time May comes, already it's going to be back to normal. Will we be able to gather together in our church? And nothing is going to happen. Little did we knew that time has come, and we are here today and still in the middle of the social distancing, suffering what we actually have as a society and as a group and as a church, that we were not able and haven't been able to get to gather together. And I wanted to express also that the title of this presentation is Fear of Death. And the reason why I picked this title is because by working through this time of uncertainty and talking to others of the necessity of being exposed because they had to go to work, it came to me that we are afraid of death. And the first thing I wanted to say is that the definition of fear, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous, is likely to cause pain or a threat. Death instead, and this is the definition, I separate it in two. And we have to remember that physical death and spiritual death are totally different. Physical death is when the body ceases to function. But a spiritual death, it's an eternal separation from God, because our spirits are immortal. Amid this time of social distancing, uncertainty, and fear, it became amazing how quick and responsive we became with something like, in this case, an invisible virus threatens our life. It is not just like being sick, visit the doctor, get the prescription, rest for a while, and get well, or just follow some family remedies to minimize the symptoms and then recover. In fact, all humanity are in fear, and we follow some guidelines to mitigate the pandemic because we are afraid. Yes, afraid of death. My proposal today, it's looking into 3 points. The first one is why we are afraid of death. And I remember that during this time working with one of my coworkers, he came to me and we prayed together. Every single time before we started the day, we prayed together. And he expressed to me that he has kids and family that he's taking care of. And if he wouldn't work, he wouldn't be able to provide for his family. So he was in fear. And he had to be exposed every single day. After several weeks, actually 3 weeks, he asked me, he said, is it because I am not safe? Because is that the reason why I am afraid of dying, of death by this virus or being exposed? And I don't have all the means to take care of it and just to stay isolated for the longest time and then take care of my family. And I thought about it and I said, we are literally afraid of death. For that, I look in the Bible, I read a few passages, and I wanted to share with you what I found. In Genesis 2:17, we read that God, talking to Adam, told him exactly, in anticipation of sin, what he shouldn't do, and he did. And he reads, Genesis 2:17 reads, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in this day you eat of it, you shall surely die." See, God anticipated the sin and told him that he wasn't supposed to eat from that tree. One command he gave. And in Genesis 3:9 and 10, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree and fell in temptation, then God came again. And when he came, he asked, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." You see, sin came with a whole package and impregnated our lives with fear, with lies, because that was a lie. Or although it was a true, he started lying to God. In Genesis 3:19, we read that God came back to Adam and gave him the consequences of sinning against him. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." At that moment, God commanded men to die physically. Although spiritually, as soon as Adam committed the sin, that is when we all die spiritually. We inherited that sin. I also found very interesting passages of other men of faith that had a straight, direct communication with God, that also experienced fear of death. In Genesis 12:10-13, Abraham reads like this: "Now there was a famine on the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman, a beautiful woman, full of appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it might go well with me because of you. And that way my life might be spared for your sake.'" You see, Abraham experienced fear as well. He was afraid of his life. And he actually was willing to give his wife and lie about it. The prophet Elijah also experienced fear. In the first book of Kings 19:3, we read, "Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. and left his servants there. That was after he defeated 400 of the prophets of Baal. We also have David, King David, in the first book of Samuel, chapter 22, he departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam because he was persecuted by Saul. Clearly, we see that men of faith experience fear. In the Old Testament, but we also have men in the New Testament that experience that same fear of death. In Mark, in the book of Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, we have a beautiful story. When the apostles and the disciples went in the boat, and Christ went with them. And he reads as follows. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Are you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him?" We also have a very similar story in Matthew 14, 22 to 27. And he reads like this. Immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And lying the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." You know, those stories are so beautiful. Not only because Christ was telling them to be calm, he calmed the sea, the waves, and he walked on water. After that, we still have Peter being fearful. We also have a beautiful reading on the vision of the Son of Man in Revelations 1, verse 19 to 18. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful reading. Let's read it. "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation of the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was in the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to the Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to the Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then turn to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with the long robes and with golden sashes around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnishing bronze, refining in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell to his feet, and I thought I was dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I die, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Our Lord Jesus Christ have the keys of death and Hades. My second point, it's a question. Can I do anything on my own to defeat physical death or spiritual death? Either or. And the answer is no. Physical death, it's inevitable. That we know. But because we know, we are afraid. But we do not know when. That only God knows. That it's on God's time. But we will surely die. Just like the apostles, like the prophets, kings that we cited from the Old and from the New Testament. As far as the spiritual death, that separation of God due to my sinful nature, how can I even think that I can gain favor before God Almighty? For that, only a divine intervention. And I want to share with you a beautiful passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That says, by the grace you being saved through faith, and it is not on your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one might boast. It's only by the grace of God, that we are saved. And when we talk about safety, our brother Mike McCready actually gave a beautiful exposure of our safety. Our final safety is in Christ. And I encourage you to review that and read it and check it out, because it's a beautiful exposure where our fears totally dissipate and disappear. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. There is nothing I can do to gain that favor before God. There is nothing I can do to have that separation and me coming to God. So much of people saying of the free will and going to God. Our free will is being corrupted with sin. So we do not choose God just because God loves us. It's totally out of grace that we are saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24, told the apostles a beautiful sentence that will actually break completely people that don't understand what is life and what is death. And I want to share with you what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hear my words and believe him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come through judgment or into judgment, but has passed from death to life. How can this be? How can it be that whoever believes in the one who sent our Lord Jesus Christ, whoever hear his voice, will actually come from death to life and reverse that sentence of being death? Dead in trespasses, dead in sin. It's not that we're not going to die physically. We certainly will die one day. But spiritually, we have, from death to life, we have our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, just for God so loved the world. It's totally out of the love of God. He gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Only in Christ we have hope and we have everlasting life. And yes, because God loves us, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, gave his body, and died, paid out for our sins in the cross, took our place in the cross. Everything out of God's love for us. Because God loves me and God loves you. Our sins are forgiven. His blood cleanses before God so that we can be presented to God. He was crucified, taking our place, paying for our sins, to reconcile us to God. That separation or eternal life, damnation, it's no more. The eternal death, it's no more. We've been reconciled. And even more, we've been adopted, and now we can be called son of the heavenly. God the Father adopted us through Jesus Christ. So the spiritual death, it's no more. Remember the words that Jesus in the cross, the last words that he said before he went to heaven. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. There is nothing we can add to it. There is nothing we can take out of it. He finished the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation to rescue us from the slavery to sin, of sin. And my third point, and Pastor Ed gave a preaching of the resurrection. Yeah, Jesus defeated death. He rose again on the third day. And on the third day, on John 11:25, Jesus said to the woman, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And that is beyond this physical life that will certainly end. In the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, reads that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his grace mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So that tells us that we have life in abundance, that we have through Christ life, and it's eternal. My conclusion is that although we know that physical death is inevitable, I have good news. The gospel. The gospel, actually, in Greek, means good news. And I want to read to you Romans 8:38-39. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights or depths, nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in our Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers, our only hope, our only strength, our life is in Christ. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you for joining us and listening to this message from the Ministry of Grace Providence Church in Cerritos, California. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.